The following is a lecture entitled Applying the Bhagavad Gita, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 23, 2006, in Govinda Valley, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, this is our first formal lecture for this wonderful soul revival retreat here at Govinda Valley. Today we want to dive very deeply into the topic of Bhagavad Gita and how to effectively, successfully, and blissfully, with full empowerment, apply its teachings in our daily life at every moment, whether we're a housewife, whether we're a school child, whether we're a university student, or whether we're a professional career person, or a businessman, or a retiree, whatever we may be, or living in an ashram doing temple services and preaching full time, whatever we may be doing. How may we apply these sublime teachings in such a way that we become fully enlightened spiritual beings, you see? This is what we want to discuss today. This is the most important topic, you see? This topic, unfortunately, is not being taught in the universities. They don't tell you who you are. Do they have a course on the meaning of existence? No. The most important thing, why do I exist? The professors don't even know. We have our preaching center in Austin, Texas, and there is the biggest university in the U.S., the University of Texas at Austin. And the center of the campus, they have the tower building. And on the tower building, these words are engraved in the building. Know ye the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you ask any professor on the campus, what is that truth that will set you free? They will say, I don't know. Is it? This is called hypocrisy. It is called a place of higher education. They have very nicely, some previous generations, have very nicely put this word, which is from Lord Jesus Christ, who is an enlightened spiritual master. They have put the words of Christ on the building. Know ye the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The trouble is, nobody knows what the truth is. And therefore, nobody is free. And because no one is free, the students are in so much anxiety that during the finals, many of them commit suicide because they can't take the pressure, because they don't really know why they exist. They can't plug in and find peace and happiness on the higher level of consciousness, as we are going to teach you to do today. We're going to teach you how to have a stress-free, anxiety-free, ignorance-free, blissful, eternal existence, which you can start right now, this very minute. We're going to train you how to do that. How to revive your soul consciousness, your spiritual consciousness. It is something like a match. A match has fire within it, isn't it a fact? The fire is inside the match, isn't it? Yes, confirmed. That match has fire already within it. It is in a dormant condition. It's not burning right now. But the fire is actually there in the match. That's the thing. Someone says, I don't believe it. We say, I'll prove it. You strike it, and there it is. It comes out. You see? So, Each and every one of you has the fire of pure enlightenment, pure spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. You have that fire right now within you. It's already there. It's not something you have to go out and acquire somewhere. You have the greatest treasure already there within your heart at this very minute. The perfection of existence. An opulence greater than all the wealth of this entire material existence is right there within your heart. You're the wealth. You're more wealthy than Bill Gates. Is it? You have the most powerful, beautiful, opulent, everything. It's all there. All you have to do is find out how to strike the match. You have to find a proper striking surface and find out how to strike the match. And the Bhagavad Gita is telling us how to do that. Lord Krishna himself is explaining how we can do that. Yat karoshi, yadashnasi, yad johosi nidasi, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Someone may say, well, why should I do that? As we explained earlier during our Japa workshop, we are actually emanations of Krishna. Just as the sun is emanating the sunshine from itself to illuminate the universe, Krishna is emanating from himself thousands and millions and billions of jivas or living entities to enjoy loving relationship with each and every one of them. So our purpose for existence is to have a loving relationship with Krishna. Love is voluntary, it cannot be forced, so Krishna gives us the choice so that we can actually love him out of our own free will. So this material existence is a place like a prison for those who misuse their free will and have to be rectified. But the full equipment or full information, full facility is given how to rectify. And that is called Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the guidebook on how you can rectify your position and get back to your original spiritual existence, which is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. So this particular verse is very, very appropriate for the modern age. Because does not the modern age keep us very, very busy? Running here, running there, running, 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 running. Just to put a roof over our head and get a few simple eatables in the refrigerator, we have to struggle in the traffic. I mean, it's actually insane. You see, if you have a little piece of land, you can build a little hut and you can plant some crops and you can live without any hassle. But then they want you to pay $1 million for the piece of land, and they want you to have all these building permits and, you know, taxes and this and that, taxes for the land. It's just crazy. The whole economy is crazy. The whole material world is a crazy place right now. So somehow we have to deal with the reality that we're in. We have to play by their rules right now. So, but Krishna consciousness, our Bhagavad Gita philosophy, is so wonderful that even in this situation, which is absolutely crazy and insane, you can still be an enlightened being. You can just say, okay, whatever. If you're Krishna conscious, you can do so, you know, living in a hut in a beautiful tropical paradise where everything is just growing naturally. Or you can do it in the rat race Sydney. Either way, you see. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. transcendental. If you apply these principles of Krishna consciousness to your life, you will be transcendentally situated beyond the material nature, because actually the spiritual, the material nature, I mean to say, is nothing more than a dance of energy. It's nothing more than an energy dance happening on the screen called Mahatattva. You see, it's just an energy dance going on. It's not really us. Now, some philosophers say it's false, but that's not true. It's real. But there is an illusion, and that's what it's not what it appears to be. It's real. The material existence is real. It's a fact. See, this carpet's real. I can feel it. I can sit on it. I can, you know, walk on it. It's real. You can't say this carpet is false. The carpet is real. So this material nature is real, but it's not what it appears to be. Just imagine you're living in, you know, the northern regions of Finland, in Lapland, where it's very, very cold and you hardly ever see the sun most of the year. And you go to the movie theater and they have a beautiful movie of the Fiji Islands, you know. And you're sitting there and you're forgetting about all the cold, you're thinking like you're in Fiji, the Blue Lagoon, and you know, the mangoes are dropping from the trees and coconuts and palms are swaying in the breeze, and you're taking a dip in the Blue Lagoon and relaxing in the white sands, you know. But then the movie comes to an end and they say, okay, everybody has to go home now, we're closed, locking the theater down for the night, and it's, you know, it's 50 degrees below freezing, and you know, your car won't start, and you know, like that. So, but you really felt like you were in Fiji while that movie was going on. So, was that movie real or was it unreal? You weren't really in Fiji, but what you were experiencing was actually real. There was a real movie screen there, and there was real light being bounced off the screen by a projector. And there was a real recording, an audio recording, which was making sound vibrations. You see, that was real. There was actually a projector, there was a projectionist, you know, there was a screen, there was light on the screen. But you weren't really in Fiji. It was, you know, it was 20 degrees below freezing, and your car was in bad shape. That was the reality. So this material nature may appear to be very nice sometimes. It is called Maya Sukaya. It may appear to be very, very wonderful, but the reality is that we're stuck here in a rotting, dying corpse. That's the reality. A body that is getting old, is getting sick and dying. We don't say how, someone says how, we always say how old are you? We don't say how young are you? Even a little baby, how old is he? Oh, he's 3 months old. What does old mean? Closer to death. That's the meaning of old. Because old means, when you're old man, old woman, that means you're on verge of death, isn't it? So immediately, even after one day, he's 1 day old. You see? 1 day closer to death. So the real reality is, the clock is ticking away towards death for each and every one of us. It's like in NASA, that in the U.S. they have those space launches and they have the countdown, 10, 9, a clock counts down, you see, to zero. And at zero, blast off. So each and every one of us have a countdown. We don't know what number we're at, but each and every one of us have a little clock built into our life, this material existence. Each and every one of us is going through a countdown right now. And when it hits zero, then we leave the body. We blast off to a different existence. But the difficulty is we foolishly think that this particular material body I have now, this is an etern- I can enjoy this forever. It's an illusion. We think I can enjoy this forever. You know, one time, Yamaraj, he asked Maharaj Yudhisthira, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was very, very enlightened. He wasn't just a political ruler. He was a great enlightened sage also, Raja Rishi. He was Raja and also Rishi, very enlightened sage. The Kshatriya rulers in those days, they were spiritually enlightened beings. They weren't just greedy politicians. They were spiritually enlightened beings, and the whole world flourished under such kings, you see. So he very intelligently answered Yamaraj's question. Ahani ahani bhutani gonchantiya yamalayam shesha stavram ishtami kim acharya atahaparam. He said that at every moment, countless numbers of living beings are being what? Dragged to the court of Yamaraj. No, no, no. Yes, come. No, no, no. Come. Force. When the Yamadut has come at the time of death, there's no... You say, well, wait a minute, I got some more... No, that's it. I'm coming. We're coming to take you away. Ha, ha, ha. They grab you and they pull you. So, countless numbers of living beings are being dragged at the time of death to the court of Yamaraj. But those who remain here, they think, I will live forever. Even though they see my brother has died, my sister has died, my father, my mother, my aunts, my uncles, my dog, my parakeet, my goldfish, my next door neighbor, my favorite football star, they've all died. But not me, I'm going to live forever. Is it? And then, kim macharya ataha param. There is nothing more wonderful than this. This is the most amazing thing in this world. This is what Yudhisthira said. There is nothing more, there is no phenomenon more amazing that every single living being is seeing around me. Everybody is dying. Every day in the newspaper, the obituary column is there. We're thinking, no, not me. Of course, we'll say, yeah, yeah. We'll say, yes, I will die, but we don't feel like we will. And we'll intellectually agree, but emotionally we'll never accept that we'll die. You see? We won't accept it. We just think, no, 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 no. Later, later, you know, sometime, well, not really. I'm here forever. So that's the illusion of this material existence. And therefore we don't prepare ourselves for a moment of death. The moment of death is actually a golden, it's not some fearful thing. It's a golden opportunity. Just like when you're a university student, the final exams come. And what does the final exam mean? It means after you pass the exam, you graduate. You get your degree. And now you're qualified to get some big money. You see, you got your master's degree in IT, and now you're all set. You got a good job waiting for you. So the final exam was a wonderful thing. Now you can graduate and get a good paying job, you see. So death is actually a golden opportunity. Now is the final exam. You're being tested. How did you live your life? You see, if you lived your life in Krishna consciousness, guess what? Now you graduate. Now you get to enter into an existence which is completely free of anxiety. There's no taxes. There's no anxiety, no traffic jams. You get to enter into a spiritual existence where you get to be a youth who never gets old, never gets sick, and never dies. And you get to associate directly with God every day. As a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl, some relationship you will have in the spiritual world with God, with Krishna. Or if you're inclined towards Ram, you can go where Ram is. Ram has a planet also. Or Nrisimha, you see. There are some Vishnu form, Narayan. You can serve the Lord in any form, according to your inclination. But that Krishna, he is very special, because on that planet of Krishna, on the Krishna planet, the other planets, everyone knows that this is God and I must bow down to Him with awe and reverence. On the Krishna planets, it's a different atmosphere. On the Krishna planet, Krishna, he likes to mingle with the village folk. He doesn't want to be worshipped as God there, sitting on some big throne and everyone bowing down. On the Krishna planet, he wants to that everyone will forget that he's God. So he can play as an ordinary cowherd boy. And even have his mother scold him. You see, no devotee would ever scold God, right? So Krishna makes a special arrangement just for fun. His own fun. He arranges a special atmosphere where all his greatest, most intimate devotees come there and they all forget that he's God. It's called Yoga Maya. It's a spiritual illusion that he puts on them. Puts them under a spell and they forget that he's God. Actually, we see this even in the material world, some similar thing. Just like in British rule, that queen, very big, Victoria, when she ruled the British Empire, it was very powerful. In those days, the sun never set on the British Empire. Now the sun never rises in the British Empire, practically. It's the opposite. There's not hardly anything left. You see. And even you go to England and it's so cloudy, you never see the sun. But anyway, in those days, it was a very big empire. And the prime minister, of course there was many prime ministers, but at that time, the prime minister's name was Mr. Gladstone. You've heard of Mr. Gladstone, the prime minister? He's a famous prime minister in British history. Prime Minister Gladstone. So anyway, he was very big, powerful prime minister. And so many big, important people would come for their appointment with Prime Minister Gladstone to take care of some business. So one very big man, he came for appointment with Prime Minister Gladstone. And he's waiting. In those days they had pocket watch. They didn't have wrists. So he's pulling out his pocket watch. What's going on here? It's like 20 minutes late, 30 minutes late, 40 minutes late. He knew the Prime Minister was in the office. And he knew there wasn't any other big meeting going on in there. He wondered, why is it delayed? 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. In those days, they had the keyhole where you could see through the keyhole. So if his curiosity got the best of him, he went up there and he peeked through that keyhole. What's going on in his office? And there he saw Prime Minister Gladstone down his hands and legs, crawling around the floor with his grandson sitting on his back going, "Giddy up! Giddy up!" He was playing horse for his grandson. Now, is Prime Minister Gladstone a horse? No, he's not a horse. He's the Prime Minister of the British Empire. But what was more enjoyable for him? To be the big prime minister having big important meeting with a big important powerful person, or to be the horse for his grandson? What was more pleasurable for him? You know the answer. It was much more fun to be the horse for his grandson than it was to be the big powerful prime minister of the British Empire. So the same tendency is there in God. It's a special pleasure for him to become subordinate to his devotees. You see, Krishna loves his devotees so much that he makes a special planet where he can become subordinate to them as a cowherd boy, as a cowherd boyfriend, or a child, you see, in this way. So it's a great pleasure for God. So, that Krishna planet is very special. of all the different forms, Narayan, Vishnu, Narsingha, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, you see, Ram, so many different incarnations and forms are there, but that Krishna planet is very, 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 very special place. And if you will chant this Hare Krishna mantra, if you will follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, you will become qualified to go to that Krishna planet, the time of death. So what we're teaching you is most valuable information, the most important information you can ever get anywhere. How you can qualify yourself to go back to home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna, the time of death. So we promise we give you the practical techniques. And we have already alluded to that in the Japa workshop. If you will begin your day chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, then you will find that you can remember Krishna throughout the day. The real bottom line is to be Krishna conscious. Arrange your life in such a way that you can be Krishna conscious. 24 hours a day. How do you do that? Practically speaking, that's what Krishna is explaining in this verse. If you do something for someone, isn't it easy to think of them? It's like if the mother wants to knit a blanket. Or a, let's say the mother wants to knit a sweater for her daughter. Isn't it easy for her to think of her daughter while she's knitting the sweater for her daughter? You see? If you're doing something for someone, then it's very easy to always think of them while you're doing that. And we see in the corporate world where, you know, it's an austerity to be out there at those corporate jobs. We see that the corporate workers, they will put their wife and kids photograph, isn't it? They'll put the photograph of the wife and kids there in their cubicle. Because that gives them impetus. It's for my wife, it's for my kids. Therefore I can do this. Because this is my love for them by working, doing the austerity of working this job. This is my love for them to take, to give them some income, to take care of their needs, you see. So it gives impetus. So while they're doing their work all day long, they're thinking, wife and children, when I can go home and see them again in the evening, you see, be happy with my, you know, bouncing my little son on his, my knee, you know, like that. My wife will cook dinner, you know, be very nice. This way, because they're doing the, they're working all day long, hard work to maintain the family. Therefore, they can easily think of their beloved family members throughout the day. So if we actually do something for someone, then it's very easy to remember them. This is the point. So Krishna is saying, therefore, do everything for me. Whatever you're doing, do it for me. You see? This is the simple formula. So think of everything that you do throughout the day and you think, is there some way that that can be offered to Krishna? If it can, then continue to do it and offer it to Krishna. But if you cannot offer it to Krishna, then you should stop it and do something else that you can offer to Krishna. Just like somebody might be eating meat, for example. But Krishna doesn't accept that we offer him meat. So if someone is eating meat, then they should give up meat eating, become vegetarian. Because Krishna does say, patram pushpam palam payam yo me bhakta priyachati. If you will offer me with love and devotion, a leaf, flower, fruit or water, even vegetarian food, you see. If you will offer me vegetarian foods, I will, with love, then I will accept them. So here's an easy way you can remember Krishna. Whenever you eat, always offer the food to Krishna first. You have a nice picture of Krishna there, a little altar. And you make, just like this morning, before we brought Radha Damodar here, I went up to the kitchen, I took some fruits we brought from Sydney, and I went up to the kitchen, and I cut the fruits nicely, made them nice arrangement on the tray, and we brought down brought down to Radha Damodar and offered to Manaji, offered to Radha Damodar, Vishnu Priya Manaji, offered Radha Damodar the nice fruit plate I had made up for them. So in this way, whenever we need to eat, we should offer that to Krishna. And then after offering it to Krishna, that food becomes transformed from matter to spirit. You see that those grapes and cherries and strawberries and peach and the water, all those things that were offered to the Lord, before they were offered, they were material energy. But when we offer them to Krishna, they became transformed into spiritual energy. And then when you eat that food, and all the food we have here, they offer to Krishna. So the food you eat at the temple or here in Govinda Valley, it is prasadam, the mercy of Krishna. And by eating that food, you become spiritualized. By eating spiritualized food, your consciousness becomes spiritualized. So whatever we eat, we should offer to Krishna. And that means fruits, vegetables, dairy products and grains. We have to leave aside meat, fish and egg. Whatever we do, we should do that for Krishna. So if I'm making money, then I must spend that money in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. You see. I should make my home an atmosphere where we're reminded of Krishna. We have nice posters of Krishna here and there. We have wonderful books, Krishna conscious books everywhere in the house and magazines. Make a house where wherever you go, you're reminded of Krishna. Instead of having a sports hero, you can have Krishna. He's the ultimate sports hero. When there's music, you can have and DVDs and CDs. Make them, fill up your house with Krishna conscious DVDs and CDs. Just make everything Krishna conscious. This is the key. Turn your house into an ashram, a place of spiritual cultivation. And then when you go to work, of course in the car you can place Krishna conscious CD and MP3. While you're driving to and from the office, you can be hearing wonderful bhajans, kirtans, lectures. And then on the internet, if you want to go on the internet, then you can sign up for our free e-course, www.backtohome.com. BACKTOHOME. That's an example. Go to www.backtohome.com. And when you go to your email, the first thing here it comes in the, I think, late afternoon. Because there's so many different time zones in the world. We send it out at 11:30 p.m. the day before East Coast time in the U.S. And then it hits different time zones at different times of the day. It comes in the afternoon here in Australia. So in that way, if you want to go on the internet, then you use the internet to connect with Krishna. If you want to go somewhere out in the country, then you come here to retreats, Krishna conscious retreats at Govinda Valley. If you want to have a family and raise kids, then raise your children to become devotees. Teach them how to chant japa mala. Teach them how to bow down before the beautiful form of the Lord. If you like to write poetry, then write poetry about Krishna. If you like to dance, then dance for Krishna. If you like to make money, then become a multi-billionaire and build temples all over the world with your money. You see? Whatever you like to do, you find a way to offer that to Krishna. If you like to cook, then you cook the most delicious, wonderful vegetarian dishes and offer them with love to Sri Krishna. And then serve the remnants to your family. And your whole family will become delivered from the cycle of birth and death by your cooking. You see? So in this way, whatever you do, whatever you eat, if you want to give charity, then give to ISKCON. Don't give the United Way where it goes for meat, distributing meat. Don't give the United Way, the office. I don't know if they have it here, but in the U.S. in the office every year, United Way. But I said, no, I already gave you my church. So you want to give charity, give to ISKCON, give to the Hare Krishna movement. That if you have extra money, you give to ISKCON. Support this movement with your donations. Support the traveling sadhus. Help them with their travel expenses. In this way, if you have some extra money, then do that for Krishna conscious way. So in this way, by dovetailing everything that we do, our income, our home, our family, our eating, our recreation, our entertainment, our travels, if you want to go to India, don't just go see your family members. Go to holy places of pilgrimage. Go to Vrindavan. See the land of Krishna. Go to Govardhan Hill. Don't just go see your family members if you can get a vacation time. Go to Vrindavan and take your family members with you. You see, liberate your family in India by taking them to the holy places. You see, this is love. This is real love. You see? So in this way, this verse, you can look it up when you have time. Chapter 9, verse 27. This verse is the key of how you can practically be engaged in applying the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita in 2006, 2007, and onwards to the new millennium. This science works. This process works. If you will follow this instruction, you will find that you become, you regain your eternal spiritual identity as a servant of Krishna. You will achieve immortality if you simply follow this instruction sincerely. So, we can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
How can a university student use his knowledge for Krishna?
What? Knowledge? Knowledge, yes. If I'm in the university, then I should know why I'm in the university.
No, how a university student can use his knowledge.
I know, I'm answering it. I heard it, yeah. If I'm in the university, I should know why I'm in the university. Well, university means I'm not there for enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment. Because they should be providing that, but they're not. I'm there so that I can get training which will empower me to make more money, to have better means of livelihood. Instead of digging ditches, you know, I can write software programs, for example. Instead of slaving in the hot sun or the cold winter, digging ditches or, you know, going up on power lines and risking being electrocuted, I can sit in a comfortable office and write computer code all day long, you see, and get paid more and have better benefit. So, education is a means of, generally speaking, education means, it's a means of getting a better livelihood, better working conditions, and better pay in the future. Now, one has to think, I want not just to make extra money for myself, but I want to use that money for Krishna. That's just like I have disciples, and they've fully surrendered to me as their spiritual master. They say, Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, whatever you tell me to do, I'm simply your servant, that's all. And some of them are in the university. They are willing to drop out and just do whatever I tell them. Move into an ashram and do full-time puja. Go out and distribute books. They'll do whatever they're asked to do. But sometimes, according to the situation, and some specific disciples, generally I will tell them. In fact, I'm always doing this now with my disciples who are in the university. I tell them, you continue. You continue with your studies because this will empower you to... The movement needs money. You need money for your livelihood, plus the movement needs money to spread Krishna consciousness. So this is good. You're qualifying yourself to... You're increasing your earning power by attending the university, and that can be used for Krishna. so you can have less stress, a more peaceful existence, make your Krishna consciousness more easy in the future, and empower you where you can actually give financial support to the movement. So it's very good. Stay in the university, I tell them. Finish your degree. So a student can think, well, this is increasing my earning power so that I can have better facility to be Krishna conscious in the future and have better facility for supporting the Krishna consciousness movement in the future. That's the answer. Any other questions? Yes.
Swami, I would like to ask that, I mean, we can't carry this Japmala every day to office, to work, everywhere. So what if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra without the Japmala? Does it have the same effect?
No. It has a similar effect, but not the same effect. It's good, any chanting is good. But to get the full effect of mantra meditation, you have to chant on the beach. You can't bypass it. We can help you individually, one-on-one, in the darshan times, to find a way that you can do it. Simply a matter of like what time you get up and what time do you go to work?
I go 9 o'clock, 9 to 6 o'clock.
9.
Yeah.
What time do you get up?
I get 6:30.
6:30.
Yes.
So what do you do between 6:30 and 9?
I get fresh, I do some exercises.
Exercises?
Yeah, yoga sometimes.
Yeah.
Not regular, but I do jogging. Also.
Yeah. So that's... that's good for the health. Yoga is good. But you have to allot some time to connect the soul with God directly through mantra. If you have time to do yoga, what time do you go to bed at night?
Between 10:30 to 11.
10:30 to 11. What time do you get home from work?
Depends on work pressure. Normally now I'm getting last past month around 6:30.
6:30. So you have a few hours in the evening also.
Yeah.
So are you single?
No, I'm married.
Married, okay. So you have to keep your wife and kids. Do you have any children?
Yeah. So they are in India,
so yeah, you gotta make your family members happy in the evening. But so the idea is to streamline your evening program a little bit. Go to bed a little earlier. Will help. And get up a little earlier. You can get to bed a half hour earlier. Just have Krishna conscious things. You don't need to sit around and watch television or anything in the evening. You know, you can have a little kirtan. Best thing is to have a little kirtan. The whole family has kirtan together in the evening and read something. Oh, the family's in India. Oh.
I have free time right now. I can utilize it.
Huh?
I have free time right now. I can.
Oh, well, the family's in India. Well, then you should just go to bed very early. Get up at 4. Go to bed at 8:30 and get up at 4. You get 16 rounds and then do your yoga. You're sitting pretty on schedule. I mean, you don't have any problem at all. You just got to come home and cook a nice dinner, you know, offer to Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita, chant. If you have time, go to the temple, but, or something like that, or go meet some friends and have a little kirtan together, have dinner together. Some nice thing you can do Krishna conscious every evening. And you can still get to bed earlier and get up earlier. And have a wonderful japa meditation. If you ride by 4, take your bath, you have from 4:30 to 6:30, you can get 16 rounds done and do your yoga. And then you'll be in good shape. Any other questions? Yes.
You told us about how to remember Krishna in our daily life,
mm-hmm.
but along with remembering Krishna, if we have to manage or if we have to give time to our family members, how do we balance it?
You have to make your family members Krishna conscious. And then they will, if you can make your family members Krishna conscious, then they will help you to be more Krishna conscious. Instead of a struggle to be Krishna conscious in spite of the non-Krishna consciousness of your family members. The easiest thing is just make them Krishna conscious. And they will help you. Just like we've seen the kirtan the little 3-year-old son of my disciple Bhaicharan. What will he sometimes tell the father? To help him remember so many things. Let's go to the temple, you know. The son will demand that the father be more Krishna conscious. So if you take the time and trouble to engage your child in doing bhakti along with you, the child loves to bond with the parent. His nature is he wants that emotional bond. So instead of playing baseball with your son, you do bhakti with your son. You see? In the material world, the father and son will stand out in the front yard and they'll throw the baseball back and forth. You know, the bond between the father and the son. Bond of love, you know, play baseball together. But if you will bond with your son when he's a little baby, every time you offer your obeisances, you have him in your arm and he's offering obeisances at the same time you are. And then when you're passing the ghee wick of the temple, you can put the ghee wick in your son's hand and hold it. So it's your hand and your son's hand. The two of you can pass the ghee wick to everyone. And as he grows up, he'll gradually do it on his own. He'll pass the ghee wick on his own to everyone. So in this way, if you're cutting vegetables for the Sunday feast, when you get a dull knife, he can't cut himself, and you let him cut some vegetables at the same time. Give him his own cutting board, his own vegetables, and let him try to cut vegetables too. And gradually he'll become good cutting vegetables. And he'll love it because it's his way of bonding with his father. It's an example. So if you will engage your children in doing bhakti along with you, you don't just neglect them, but you engage them in whatever you do bhakti. The child loves to do things with the parents. If you do something, give the child a way to do it also. It's like the other day we were coming. One devotee picked us up at the airport to bring us, Mataji and I, to the temple. And he was unloading the car, the luggage. And the son was there and he didn't want to be neglected. And he was feeling a little bad that the father was putting his consciousness on getting our luggage in. But I was thinking, well, why don't we, everybody was give the child a small piece of luggage, like the computer bag, that he can actually let him pull a piece of luggage too. The father is taking the big luggage and give a little tiny piece. The son, the little baby, can also pull a piece of luggage in and feel, yes, I'm part of it. I'm with it. I'm part of what's happening. Instead of feeling neglected, just you engage the child in doing what you're doing for Krishna. Find a way to get him also doing the same thing that you're doing along with you. And he'll naturally become a great devotee of the Lord if you engage him that way. And we're seeing practically how you can easily make your children Krishna conscious. They want to do what you are doing, so do it. Whatever you engage in bhakti and engage them doing it with you. And if you and your wife work as a team to do that with your children, you'll find the bond of love in that family is so strong and so wonderful and so sweet and so powerful that nothing can ever break that family apart. Nothing will ever break that family apart. So you simply have to be very compassionate on your family members and engage them in doing bhakti with you. They want to be with you. They want your association. So give it to them in bhakti. They will become your greatest asset. Your family members will become your greatest asset on the pathway back to home, back to Ghana. Any other question? So if there's no other questions, we can stop here. Thank you very much. Continue on with this wonderful weekend soul revival retreat. Our managers can now tell us what the next program it is. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Divine grace, Sankarsana Prabhu Ki Jai.